to share with you the progress of this declaration and the process of finalizing it, I will introduce again Judge Rudiger Wolfram.
Your Serene Highness, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues and friends, it falls upon me to explain to you what we have done to the draft declaration which was put before you yesterday. And I will first of all describe the process and highlight some of the changes that we have introduced after listening to you. Let me emphasize what yesterday has been said by Ambassador Jorge Begunio. This is not meant to draft a legal document. This is not an agreed measures, a General Assembly resolution, or a new liability regime. But it is a statement of some part of the civil society which has a certain, all persons in this room have a certain, yes, involvement within Arctica, either professionally, personally, or both. I would count for both, I would say. The majority of us are scientists, some are lawyers, as myself, etc. But we all have one wish, namely that Antarctica should remain as it is, a continent outside the political struggle, devoted to peaceful activities only, totally demilitarized, devoted to scientific activities, and whose environment is fully protected. In this, we do share common ideas, and I believe this is a binding glue amongst all of us. Having said that, the yesterday discussion was particularly rich, and we tried very hard, Mike Richardson, Jorge Begunio, myself, and Paul, to introduce as much as possible of your valuable statements into this text. But you cannot, that's impossible, accommodate everybody. And some of these remarks were, frankly speaking, contradictory. But still, we listened carefully, and I have taken very good notes. Many of you said, and let me go into the details, that it's not clear who is the, so to speak, the drafter of that declaration. This point is well taken, and therefore you have the text in front of you. The first paragraph explains who speaks. The Antarctic Treaty Summit, consisting of a group of people as part of civil society. We are here as part of civil society. Paul just addressed me as a judge. Later in the day I will sign, certainly not as a judge, but as part of civil society. Secondly, it was asked, whom do we address? If you turn the page and go to the bottom of the last page, the second page, then it says that very clearly. This declaration shall be distributed widely and shall be communicated by the coordinator of the Antarctic Treaty Summit, that's Paul, to the General Assembly of the United Nations, the Secretary General of the United Nations. The reason was evident, you just heard his message, and the governments of all state parties to the Antarctic Treaty. But also, it says, this declaration shall be distributed widely, and the paragraph before it says, encourages all like-minded people to support this declaration. I believe we gave good thought of what has been argued when we discussed this draft declaration. Let me then go into some further details. As you see in the title, it says Forever Declaration, for you must give a declaration a flavor. You can't say declaration. We have plenty of declarations, and you must give it a title which is more easy to remember. Therefore, that forever. Having said that, if you go through the text, you will find the word forever only once again, since some of the members said, be a little bit more careful with the use of the word forever, for it may come into conflict with Article 4 of the Antarctic Treaty. I believe that was a very pertinent statement. Indicate where the forever still is to be found in the text. If you are on page 1, saying in the 5th paragraph, noting the indefinite nature of the Antarctic Treaty and that Antarctica should remain a natural reserve forever devoted to peace and science. That is correct. Before, the word forever was in a different place to which there was an objection. Let me go down the text. If you go further down, noting that the environmental principles and mechanisms developed for the protection of Antarctica, its dependent and associated ecosystems, have inspired, that weakens the former paragraph, but it keeps the spirit, namely that some of the ideas developed within the Antarctic Treaty, Antarctic legal system, should serve as a model or as an inspiration, as we say, for further international law developments. Please turn the page. Then you will see beliefs, the paragraph starting with beliefs that the pristine nature of Antarctica as well as its aesthetic value. Some people have argued that this should be put in, correctly so. In particular, the protocol refers also to the aesthetic value. Then there was a strong emphasis by some that we should also refer to climate change, etc. If you go down the text on the second page to the paragraph starting with urges, that's a totally new paragraph which I read, urges all states, organizations, and individuals to eliminate impacts such as climate change, pollution, or overfishing that stem from outside the Antarctic Treaty area but which are harmful to the Antarctic Treaty and Antarctic environment. I believe we have truly included this particular aspect. I believe I indicated some of the major changes. There are others, in particular, changes which were meant to shorten the declaration. We were very interested not to have a declaration more than 2 pages, which we just managed to achieve. And I am not opening the discussion again. I said that yesterday already. But it's for everybody free to sign or not to sign. But this is not my function. May I now call on Ambassador Burgundy, Jorge, to come forward to chair the ceremony on the signing of the declaration. May I also call Mike Richardson to join us here, for he's meant to sign following His Serene Highness the Prince.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. I believe everything has been said and that we are in the verge of initiating this process. I would like to say only one thing related to this declaration, and it is that you can see on the screen the indication of the signature by Herman Flegger. And this is a photograph that he offered to Lawrence Gould. And the words there are, without whom we would never have the Antarctic Treaty. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence Gould himself, when he wrote about Antarctica, came back a century before and quoted Commander Maury, who in 1856 made a plea for Antarctic exploration in these words, which I feel are very akin to this 21st century declaration. Maury wrote in 1856, "It is enough for me when contemplating the vast extent of that unknown region to know that it is a part of the surface of our planet, and to remember that Earth was made for man, that all knowledge is profitable, that no discoveries have conferred more honor and glory upon the age in which they were made, or have been more beneficial to the world than geographic discoveries, and that never were nations so well prepared to undertake Antarctic exploration." I think these words probably remind His Serene Highness of all the work and endeavors of his ancestors in the Arctic and Antarctica as well. I will then call upon His Serene Highness to initiate the signing of the declaration, which will eagerly follow afterwards.
I also would like to invite the other members of the International Board of the Antarctic Treaty Summit to come to the stage and to sign the Forever Declaration, please. Warren Young, David Walton, A.H. Zachary, other members, Michael Lang. The declaration will be available for all participants to sign throughout the day, and it will be available this evening at the National Air and Space Museum at the gala as well to sign.